save me, you fill me with your goodness, and I praise your holy name. But oh, precious Lord, to be alive, another sin, your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you add to me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like you. Now when your light, Lord, is shining upon me, there's no hiding its wonderful glow. Family and children, my neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, then all others will know. Lord, will you lend to me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Shine down upon me and fill me every way, Lord. Let me be more like you.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I think I'm gonna sing one more song. And I believe this song, you know it, because it's an old song. If you know it, you can sing with me this morning. Amen.
There's a coming day when no heartache should come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore by that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. There'll be no sorrow there,
no more burden,
no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more fault to overdare. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day.
And I just want to praise the Lord, because even though we have different nationality, even though we have different color of skin, hair and eyes, But we have one thing in common, that we're serving the same God that I'm serving today.
Amen.
And if you don't know my name is Jerian Lasco, and I'm a missionary to the Philippines in Southeast Asia, and I'm 23 years old. But when you change my name to American name, you can call me Jerry, so that will be easy for you to remember me. And I just want to testify how God good in my life, because I raised and grew up in a Christian family. Actually, my dad is a pastor, and my mom is a Sunday school teacher. And you know, I'm so blessed because, you know, every Sunday, I'm always listening to my dad preaching. I'm so blessed because, you know, every Sunday, I'm always listening to my mom teaching me a lot of Bible story. But you know what? Even though I'm always present attending every Sunday, even though I'm always present listening to my mom, I don't know what the meaning of life is. I don't know what the meaning of life is. Even though my dad is a pastor, he didn't tell me what the meaning of life is. Maybe he's just busy going out every day, knocking doors, distribution, trucks distribution in our area. And you know, one day, God used my mother. And my mother asked me if we can go to a quiet place or a quiet room. And I'm so excited because I thought my mother's gonna tell me another Bible story. But you know, for the very first time that I heard that she asked me, and she said, "What if you die today? Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven?" I was 8 years old on that day, and of course, I don't know the answer. I don't have any idea. But you know, even though I was 8 years old on that day, God opened my mind. God opened my heart to understand what my mother is saying. And until now, I still remember what my mother told me on that day. She read in the Bible in James 4:14, the Bible says there, "Where shall you know what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for the time and then vanished away." My mom explained to me that our life is so short. We don't know tonight, we sleep tonight, we don't know if we can wake up again in the morning. That our life is like a vapor and it's pure to the air, and it's pop, and it's all gone. And my mother explained to me also that we are all sinners and dying and going to hell. But you know, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." My mother explained to me that God loves me more than she loves me. But God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Died on the cross of Calvary. All the blood that shed on the cross of Calvary is the one to be remission for our sin.
Amen.
So that we cannot go to the punishment that is called hell. Now, we can have eternal life there in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, brother and sister, January 22, 2003, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know, now, everything changed. Everything changed. Now, I can understand why my dad is preaching. Now, I can understand why my mom is teaching me a lot of Bible stories. It's to preach that there is a Savior. It's to teach that there is Jesus Christ that can save us from our sin. And now, as time goes by, I'm now effective in doing our trash distribution, knocking doors, going to different places there in our area. And when me and my dad doing that, I realized that there are many people that are dying and going to hell. I realized that there are many souls that are lost from the darkness of this world. You know, on that day, I said to my dad, "Dad, I want to be like you. Dad, I want to be a pastor someday. Dad, I want to preach the word of God." You know, on that day, I surrendered my life in the ministry. Actually, there in the Philippines, I studied there for almost 2 years in the Bible college there in the Philippines. And God blessed me so much and gave me an opportunity to be here in your country. Now, I'm on the front of you all, still preaching the good news, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I came here, I was 18 years old, on the year 2013. And even though our second language is English, but when I came here, I can speak what I'm doing right now. So when the members of the church in Ohio came to me and speak to me, I still remember the first word that I said to them is the word yes. And even though I don't understand them, I just said, yes sir, yes ma'am. But you know, for the past 5 years that I stayed here, God's helped me, you know, to keep learning English, but still my English is still not that good, and I hope you can still understand me this morning, and please bear with me. And so it's been 5 years not been away from my home. It's been 5 years that I haven't seen my mom and my dad. And even though it's hard for me to be away from them, because you know, sometimes I depend to my mom what to do. Sometimes I depend to my dad what to do. But you know, for the past 5 years, I made it. And God take all those, you know, hard and homesickness in my heart and put the courage and grip. Because you know, for the past 5 years that I stayed here, there's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of regrets that I made. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of problems and discouragement that I faced. And there comes a time that I want to go home. I want to stop serving the Lord. I don't want to stop and see them, to go home in the Philippines. But you know, there's only one thing that keeps me fighting. What is that? To know that Jesus Christ never give up on me. Why I need to give up? If I can imagine for all those years, for those 20 years of my life, 23 years of my life, that God has been good to me. For all those traveling nurses, for all those clothes that I have, for the food on the table, you know, for the car that I can use, for the shoes that I get on my feet, I can imagine that I can be here. Because I just want to share a little bit of my livelihood. Me and my family is considered as the one of the poorest people in the Philippines. I don't want to be exaggerated, I'm just telling the truth. And if you want to see the place that I'm living there in the Philippines, I love you guys to visit it. Visit my place to see what I'm seeing in your own eyes. Our house is from here and from here, in the end of the pulpit. And you walk 3 to 5 steps, that's my mom and my dad's room. When you walk 3 to 5 steps, that's my room. When you walk again 3 to 5 steps, there's more kitchen, and beside, small restroom. And my mom don't have a good stove, but when she cook, that's the best food I ever taste. You know, we don't have the livelihood that we want, but you know what? We're happy, and we're so excited to serve the Lord. We're so excited to serve the Lord. But if here I don't have a mansion, but surely I know, I believe that there's a mansion for me waiting for there in heaven. In heaven. And I just want to grab the opportunity to share what's my goal in my deputation. I'm praying for 50 churches, not only churches, but family, friends, and individual. I'm praying for 50 family, churches, friends, and individual that will gonna help me support for $20 monthly partnership. But you know, for the couple of months that I'm doing my deputation, for these 50 churches, for these 50 families and friends, I need only 8 more. I need only 8 more, and I'm going home, and I'm ready to go home. But I believe your $20 here can buy 3 Big Mac. Is that right? But you know what? Your $20 can support one missionary. Your $20 can support one missionary. So all the trucks were gonna be distributed there. All the souls were gonna be saved there. All the churches were gonna build there. You're part of it. You're part of it. Because we have in a different world. So we're 12 hours ahead from you guys. So when you're sleeping, we're praying for you. So when we are sleeping, you're praying for us. It's like 24-hour partnership, working together until the Lord comes. For example, I'm getting a water from the well. For example, I'm the bucket. Yes, I can get a water from the well, but I cannot get it up. So I need a rope. Who's the rope? The rope is that you. That, excuse me. The rope is that you that let's help each other get water from the well. Let's help each other to get more souls for Christ. Let's help each other to build more churches for Christ. Let's extend our hand to the fulfilling of the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe that our labor is not in vain. And I believe that little is much when God is in it. When God is in it. And I just want to tell about the place that I'm going. The province is, we call it Dinalungan Aurora. So the province called Aurora, you call it here state, like Virginia state. We call it their province, Aurora province. So the Aurora province is composed of 200,000 people. So my place is located in northeast of the Philippines, in Luzon. So I'm 6 hours away from Manila. And the town that I'm going is called Dinalungan. Dinalungan is composed of 11 to 15,000 people. 15,000 souls. And in the year 2011, when me and my dad visit that place, we can't see any Christian church. There's no Baptist church, but not like here. When I do my deputation, I travel different state, different city, different town. But you know, when I travel a different street, every street here have a Baptist church. But when you go there, you can't see nothing. There's one, I want to go there, to go back there in the Philippines, to preach the real salvation. Because you know, 85% of the population are Roman Catholic and less than 1% are Christian. And there's also a second largest group that that we call it Christian cult. And the name of the group, they call it Iglesia ni Cristo. When you visit the Philippines, you can see they have a big churches and their churches is built like a rocket. Because they believe when the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not in the church, you're gonna left behind. Because they believe that literally the church will gonna get up like a rocket, get up and God, they're gonna meet in the air with Jesus Christ. They believe that. And they believe also if you do good work to your neighbors, they will be saved. And they believe also if you did what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, they hang themselves on the cross, they hurt themselves on the back, we believe that it can save them. But you know what? If you do good works to your neighbors, it can save you. If you go to the church can save you. The only salvation is to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 4:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father but by Him. He's the only way. You know, He is the only way, you know, my brothers and sisters. That's the reason why I don't want to waste 5 years just to be away from my mom. I don't want to waste 5 years just away from my dad if I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the God put a burden in my heart to go back to my people, to go back to the Philippines and to preach the real salvation. And the only way is to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. And this morning, I don't want to keep you so long because my English is only good for 15 minutes. And if you have your Bible, let's open it in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 6. I will read it and then just follow it with your eyes. The Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to the Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag. and burn it with fire. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives that we were doing. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him, they had their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David, two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And verse 6, the Bible says here, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake up stoning him, because the soul of all the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. May the Lord bless this passage, let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to praise you and glorify you. Lord, thank you for this wonderful morning. Thank you for the new life. Thank you, God, because you put us here together to worship you in the spirit and truth. Lord, if we see sin in our heart, Lord, cleanse us with your holy blood so that we can come holding your throne of grace. Lord, this morning, help me. Hide me in your cross so that they cannot see my sin, but only your glory. Lord, use me to be a channel of blessing this morning. And you be your name to be lifted above. The most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I'm sorry for my... And if you will read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 30, we can see here the life of King David. The life of King David. And I have a question for you this morning. Have you been experienced that you have a thing or you have, that is very important to you, that you love it so much and you don't want to be away from you? But you know, something happened to those most important thing in your life had taken away from you. What you gonna feel? What you gonna feel? Of course, you're gonna feel sad. You're gonna feel discouraged. And I guess you can sleep at night thinking about it. But you know, King David experienced all those things. King David experienced that he lost all the most important in his life, that he lost all that he loved. But you can see in the life of King David, he never gave up. He never gave up. Oh, thank you, man. He never gave up. But if you can see in the verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men came to the city, so the Amalekites go to the towns of Ziklag, they invade it. But the Bible says here, they're not content by invading it. The Bible says here, they burn it with fire. They slew either small house or a big house, they burn it with fire. But the Amalekites did not content by invading and burning. The Bible says here, they taken all them captives. They slew not either a baby or a grandma or a grandpa. They taken all them captives. So when David and his men come to the town of Ziklag, what did they find? The town of Ziklag was burned with fire. Not only that, all their wives, all their sons, all the most important thing in their life had taken captives. And I believe with all my heart, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are now in the race. So what is our goal? Our goal is to finish that race. But you know, sometimes our enemy will gonna hinder us. Satan's will gonna tempt us so that we can finish that race. But you know, God is telling us to keep moving forward. If you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us run the race with patience, the race that is beside us. You know, the one thing that King David do is he was patient during problem. He was patient during problem. Because you know, when they go to the town of Ziklag and they see that it is burning fire and all their wives are taken captive, and then all the people were against to David. So So all the people speak against David, and David don't know what to do because he don't have any friend, he don't have any family there. All the people are against him. But you know what? The only thing David do, instead of murmuring, instead of complaining, instead of asking God why it happened, the only King David do is to glorify God for all those circumstances. And David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. You know, in running our race, what are the things we need to do to finish that race? Number one, we need determination. What is determination? Determination that you are determined to finish that race. Whatever problems you're gonna face, even it's so hard, even it's so pain, you're still determined to finish that race. You know, lots of the people saying that I'm too young. You're too young, you can build a church. You're too young, you can start a mission work. But you know, the Bible says here that let no man despise the youth. And I told them that even you're young, even you're old, this is the right time to serve the Lord before it's too late. And when we are going to serve the Lord, when God take your voice, when God take your arms, when God take your legs, this is the right time to serve the Lord. Because the Bible says that redeeming the time because the days are evil. If you watch the television, there's a lot of crimes, there's a lot of killings. And I believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming near. And the question is, are you ready to face the Lord? Are you ready? If you haven't accept Him as your personal Savior, this is the right time to accept Him before it's too late. Before it's too late. You know, brothers and sisters, in running our race, like King David, he was patient during problem. And I believe here you have a friend here that you, when you need help, you just call them and they'll be there for you just in the seconds. And I believe you have a best friend when there's nothing, a bad happens to you, if you call them, they'll be there for you. But I want to tell you this morning that there comes a time your friend will gonna leave you. There comes a time that your best friend will gonna forsake you. And you know, if you don't have any friend to talk to, you don't have any family to speak to, we have their friend that never leave us, never forsake us. Who is that? That is Jesus Christ. If I can imagine of my life, if you can imagine for a whole years of your life that God has been good to us, and I can imagine that I can come here and for all the blessing that I have, that all I can say is I am so blessed and God's been good. Even though sometimes we forget to talk to Him, even though sometimes we forget to read the Bible, but still, God's still faithful to us. Still opening the windows of heaven and pouring out the blessing on us. You know, in running our race, not only we need determination, but we need discipline. Discipline. For example, your favor to run a marathon for 400 meter run, sprint run, and you bring all your backpack, you bring all your stuff, and I believe you can win that race if you have backpack on your back, on your back. So the Bible says here that we need to lay aside every weight. What is that? We need to lay aside every weight, the sin that is beset us, so that we can walk freely, we can run peacefully, and finish that race. And finish that race. And you know, brothers and sisters, King David never gave up because he was patient during problem and he put all his trust in the Lord. And the Bible says here that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And early in the morning, he inquired to the Lord. And God said, "Go, David, recover them all." And David obeyed the Lord. And he go with early in the morning, he prepared with his men to go to the Amalekites to recover all their sons, their wives, and their daughter. And I believe with all my heart, even though I don't know each one of you, I believe that every day you're facing different kinds of trials. Every day you're facing different kinds of persecution in your life. Every day you're facing different kinds of problems in your life. But you know what? And I know that there comes a time that you're thinking that I want to give up. I'm so tired. And you think that the world is against you. That you have a big problem. Why not tell to your big problem that I have a big God? That God is bigger to your problem. And if you're thinking that you want to give up, just get up and fight one more round. Get up and fight one more round. And the blessing of God is waiting for us there. All you need to do is to keep moving forward. No, don't turn right, don't turn left, no turning back. Just keep moving forward. Because if you look to your neighbors, if you look to the people, you will be quit. You will be failed. Why? Because we're humans. We're not perfect. We're made to mistake. But we focus only our eyes to Him. But we focus only our heart to Him. I guarantee you, you will win that race. And you will be victorious. You know, David put all his faith in the Lord. Because David believed that God is the only way. That God is the only way that he can lean on. And he believed that God is in control. And God will fight for us. Because all the problems that we have, it's not for us. It is for God. Because God will fight for us. You know, in running your race, not only we need determination, not only discipline, but we need direction. Who is our direction? That is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says that just look upon Him. Look upon Him. No turning back. No turn right. Then turn left. Just focus only our attention for Him. Because He is our example. He is the light from the darkness of this world. And you know, I just want to say that I know I'm a foreigner here. We are all foreigner here. It's not our home. It's not our home. You know where's our home? That's our real home. You're in heaven. You know what the day that will be? You know, they're in heaven. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. All the thing we need to do there is to glorify God forever and forever. And you know, I just want to end with this illustration. And there was a young man named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was favored to run in a marathon in Barcelona Olympics on the year 1992. So I was not born on that day. So they believe that Derek can win that race. Why? Because he was physically fit and he go to different kinds of training and he was ready to finish that race. So when the competition began, they all now in the track, in the oval, and they start running. They start running. And all the people was looking to Derek. And Derek was leading the race. He was leading the race. And you know what? 200 meters away from the finish line, Derek felt a searing pain on his legs. Derek felt a searing pain on his leg. So in agony, he fell on the track. With a torn hamstring. He fell on the track. With a torn hamstring. And you can see all his competitors are already there in the finish line. But you can see in the life of Derek, instead of getting up and sit on the bench, but he was determined. He was determined to finish that race. So he get up. He keep walking. You can see the pain on his face. He was crying for pain. He was crying for pain. He can barely walk, but he kept walking. He kept walking. He keep walking. And there was a man breaking out to the security. That was his dad. And then his dad said to Derek, "Son, you don't have to do this." But you know what Derek said? "Yes, Dad, I do." And his dad said, "Well, let's finish it together." So they walked together with his dad. And few more steps away from the finish line, his dad let him go to finish the race alone. You know what? 65,000 people standing ovation for Derek. You know, brothers and sisters, in running our race, it's not what we get in the first place, because we're not here to compete to each other. If you see that your brothers and sisters are planning to quit, planning to give up, why not go to them? Go to them, encourage them, and walk together, and finish together the race. You know, brothers and sisters, in running our race, not only we need determination, not only discipline, but direction. And how is your race this morning? Are you a bit proud? Are you a bit in pain? God says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
We need some young people to get in church, because they never know, you'll never know what the Lord has in mind for them. And I tell you, it's sad, the reason.